Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined here by my good buddy and pal, a one, Mr. Brian E. Roach. Hey, Brian, had some dinosaurs on the brain, man, but it's like, you know, whenever you talk about the dynamic duo type thing, there really isn't like, you can't both be T-Rexes, can you? How's it going, man?
I got the little arms. I don't know how they're so vicious. They got them little teeny arms that don't do anything.
I don't know. There was always like talk. I'm not going to get into all of it, dinosaur talk. But obviously, I've been watching all the Jurassic Park stuff with my kid and was gearing up for the Jurassic World stuff. And they have fake dinosaurs on some of those movies. Even I remember the first Jurassic Park big deal was the Velociraptor. It was like the big discovery back then. It was brand new. Aside from all the CG and everything, that was pretty cool. But I was trying to think of something cool and witty, and it was like, you know, you can't be my Laura Dern or anything like that. So I was going to put you in that category. I could be like the Jeff Goldblum near Sam Neill or something like that. Maybe that would
work.
That would probably work. But yeah. Anyways, but you were around when the dinosaurs were things, so probably you're more of an expert than I am.
I didn't know them. Dino was not my pet.
Dino, you know what? My kid doesn't even know what the Flintstones is. Like, that's sad. That's like, I almost feel like a failed parent. Although she does know that Goonies never say die and who you gotta call Ghostbusters. So raising her partially right here. But man, it's like Flintstones, just so classic. I had to introduce her to Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Had no idea. Popped up on the, and she's like, did they do anything more than that? I was like, no. And then she loved it. I was like, that's all you need is meep meep and Wile E. Coyote with like a sign like, oh no. That's kind of, it's kind of where we're headed with the off season. It's still June. We're still trying to think of things to think, to talk about and everything else. So that's why we talk about dinosaurs. When you talk about dinosaurs, somehow Brian goes right into Fred Flintstone, Barney Rubble. You know, that's pretty good. Fred Flintstone, Barney Rubble. I think we can make that work one way or another.
Yeah. You're going to have to be Fred though, because You're too tall to be Barney.
Hey, Fred. That would work. Well, we were talking about, speaking of sexy topics, you're very excited today. We're going to finally talk about offensive line. We've been making the rounds with all the different various offensive groups and Steelers decisions and news here and there and everywhere. And now it's time. It is finally time. We've run out of things with the offense because myself and Flash on a show that went in every single direction that it could have. We got the running backs and we got the tight ends. We've talked about quarterback. We'll continue talking about quarterback. But what about these guys that are protecting the quarterback? What about these guys that are opening up the run lanes for Najee Harris? We have the Steelers, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, maybe at a previous show, but now we're going to hammer this a little more.
Okay.
Did they do enough with this offensive line? And I think in order to broach this subject, we have to talk about last season. And a lot of people tend to forget, oh, well, they were terrible because look at who and who and who and who. But that wasn't the way it was supposed to be planned. Around this time last year, we were discussing whether or not, hey, Kendrick Green, that interior of the line, Kevin Dotson, David DeCastro. That should look pretty sharp. Chooks a core for, and what if Zach Banner could come back from that knee? And that's what that was supposed to look like. And it didn't really look like that. And in fact, even in training camp, Zach Banner never got up to speed, never really got healthy. And David DeCastro never ended up going at all. So you ended up throwing Trey Turner out there. Chooks, I don't think, was meant to be playing on the right. I think they were going to have Zach Banner play on the right. And then, of course, Kevin Dotson. Remember, he supposedly showed up out of shape. He wasn't, he was hurt. There was, these guys didn't have any chance to have any continuity or gel or even look like what they were supposed to look like on paper. And it was like a mad dash with whatever pieces, parts you could get and fit and try and make it work, that you had two rookies starting on this offensive line last year. And I think that ends up helping going into this year to some degree.
Maybe to some degree. Look, we're going to learn a lot when Dotson shows up to camp. Because if he comes in having learned lessons from last year and can maintain, or not maintain, return to form that we saw him have when he was a rookie, when it wasn't gifted to him that he was going to be the starting, you know, guard on that side. He was mean. He was nasty. He was more impactful than he was at any point in time last year. Does part of that maybe come from having Marquise Pouncey sitting next to him for the part of that season and DeCastro on the other side there? Possibly, absolutely possibly, but he needs to step up. We'll see who ends up playing center. I think James Daniels on the other side should be much better than what was sitting there last year. That's the key element to me, is the fact that they've got James Daniels on one side and potentially Dotson, could be potentially somebody else at the other guard, but that shores up a lot of the interior, because it could be Kendrick Green playing at that other guard position.
Yeah, it very well could be Kendrick Green. And let's talk about Kendrick Green for a short second. And last year, brand new position for him, wasn't a center by trade whatsoever. And you had some folks that were talking about, you had some ups and downs with Kendrick Green, obviously, because of that. You had some bad snaps. You had supposedly an injury, which may have not been an injury, for which he ended up being yanked or pulled at the end of the season. And that led some folks to even say or try to suggest that maybe J.C. Hasenauer should have maybe jumped in there. And you can even look, I got the photo up here. You see this in this photo here, Brian, and those watching on YouTube. That's J.C. Hasenauer in the center there, flanked by John LeGlue. And I believe that, is that not 71, Joe Haig?
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow. I mean, that's part of the problem was the injuries, obviously, too. And you went like five deep on the left guard side there, which, you know, Ramon Foster was pretty much the man for so long.
Yeah.
There was a consistency there. So you, over a period of time, you lost Marcus Gilbert, who should probably have got more Pro Bowl nods or recognition, but was overshadowed largely because he had two All-Pro studs, perennial All-Pros next to him, and Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro. He was the first kind of domino to fall.
Yep.
Then it was Ramon, and then all three of the Pro Bowl guys went at the same time, although we kind of suspected Alejandro Villanueva was longer in the tooth, and he got one more year in the NFL with the Ravens last season, and now he's retired. Marquise Pouncey we thought would go when Ben went, so we knew that was a short leash, but we didn't anticipate. I put the David DeCastro thing right up there with like Aaron Smith, and that's because David DeCastro was probably on trajectory for a Hall of Fame career.
They still have already had one.
Yeah, may have still already had one, but definitely it got to be a lock, I think, if he plays a few more seasons here, right?
Probably, especially if he plays at the high level. If he has drop-off, because, look, I think we saw this over the past couple seasons of DeCastro's last year. He simply was just absolutely plagued by nagging injuries. And he was not the same guy. He was still better than average, but he just wasn't the same guy that David DeCastro had been.
Yeah, and six Pro Bowls in a row, 2015 on to 20, 20, even including his last season there. And then, of course, two All-Pro nods in the middle there. Yeah, you start getting into 7, 8, 9, and maybe if he had an extra All-Pro season or something like that, maybe he's more fringe because, geez, look how long it took Faneca to get in. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He was passed over for people that probably shouldn't have been, and it was probably more, I'd say, within the political spectrum of making these selections, you don't want to have 50 Steelers go in every year. But it probably had something to do with it. But definitely, I'm trying to think who it was, like Kevin Mawai that went in with the Jets, and Steve Hutchinson. And I thought he should have got ahead of some of those guys over the years. And it was just a matter of when, not if. But that's the type of caliber of player we're talking about replacing. And now you're without him, and it's the day before you start training camp, and you bring in Trey Turner, who also had come off of an injury, who used to be a pretty steady hand for many years in the NFL and also kind of fell off there. And God forbid I even say he may have been the most consistent player even last year, even though he's not here anymore. But no more could be further from the truth. But the one interesting thing here, though, is that you did mention Kendrick Green, and as to whether or not he could be playing as a guard or a center. And I'm kind of the thought process here, Brian, that it looks like Mason Cole they were already working him in. And I'm kind of believing that Mason Cole is more than likely going to be the guy based just on what we've heard or seen coming out of minicamp and the OTAs. So I don't know where that leaves Kendrick Green and the whole pecking order here of things to come.
Leaves him battling with Kevin Dotson is what it does. either that or he becomes a depth piece, which, look, what was he? Third round pick, fourth round pick. That's not necessarily out of place for a guy picked at that point to fall back into. That doesn't mean that's where he ends up. Right. I mean, he could blossom. Maybe he gets his feet under him playing guard and is more impactful and has less to worry about. Isn't the quarterback of the offensive line, so to speak, and can just focus on playing. He has exceptional quickness. He has exceptional get off. Yes, he's a bit undersized, and he probably needs to get some more, what do they say, junk in his trunk, and give himself the ability to handle some of those bigger defensive linemen better than he did last year. But I'm not giving up on Kendrick Green as far as a potential starter at some point down the line at some place on the offensive line. I'm not even giving up on him as a center, although I think that's probably not where he ends up.
Yeah, and we had speculated on that for a little bit of time here. My biggest question is now, Mason Cole, what do you do with Mason Cole here? Like, is this the guy that you're absolutely writing? Because James Daniels, I don't think there's any chance in hell that James Daniels is going to be playing center. He was brought in primarily to be the right guard, and you've got to put him, he's going to be on the interior of the offensive line, but you're not going to have J.C. Hassenauer out there, I don't think.
No.
I think that would be scary in any aspect that you could have him. As far as a reserve player, I'm okay with that, but I guess my biggest question is that Mason Cole has been kind of a tweener type too now, running around in the NFL. He hasn't really, he's been more of a guard as of late. Is this the right thing for the Steelers? Is this the right direction for them to be headed with Mason Cole?
I mean, the problem is it's the position that they're in, right? It doesn't really matter if it's the right direction or not. They have to try and figure out the puzzle pieces with the guys they have. And, the experiment with Green at center last year didn't go as anybody wanted it to. Yeah, there is some legitimate comparisons to Cole being the same kind of player, right? More comfortable at guard, not necessarily big enough to play at center. But they've had undersized centers before. That's not really the issue. It's just whether he can hold up in that role. I agree with you 100%. James Daniels not moving to center. He was there. He's been brought in to solidify at least one of the positions on this line. There is the potential that the line ends up with three solid positions, maybe four, but there is also the potential that two of them are question mark. The downside of all that, one of those question marks is going to continue to be center until somebody steps up and proves that they can play it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I guess one of the thoughts that I've had recently was, do you happen to remember a gentleman by the name of Jeff Hardings?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you remember what Jeff Hardings was up to in the NFL before he joined the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Up to no good?
Up to no good. But I meant like, what? Geez, you had to throw me off, really. You punk. I guess what I was leading you into was he wasn't playing center when he was with the Detroit Lions for all those
years. That's correct.
Yes. That is true. So he played five seasons with the Detroit Lions at age 29. He comes over to the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2001, plays until 2006, age 34, six seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a center, changes like kind of what he was doing, becomes primarily just a center after playing right guard with the Lions, and actually has two Pro Bowl years and an all-pro season. Both of those in his last two of his three. His last year was 2006, so he made it to as an all-pro in 04 and the Pro Bowl in 04 and 05. So when you take a look at Mason Cole, is Mason Cole the next Jeff Hardings? Is this another one of these things where the Steelers identify someone? Maybe it was someone that they had scouted or saw, because you don't have, like, I understand personnel in the front office move around. So you've probably seen somebody if you're with another team and then you jump to another team and working with them and it, but there's like a certain level of continuity that's been longer term with the Pittsburgh Steelers with Kevin Colbert and everything like that, Mike Tomlin, where, hey, we saw this guy or we played against this guy and, you know, we really think he could be the answer as a center here. Now, I know Cole has had some opportunities as playing a center, especially I think with the Arizona Cardinals. Right. He was previously just now there with the Vikings. Could he be another Jeff Harding situation? Or I guess the other kind of end of this is like, since we're talking about that they did enough to improve the offensive line, how much worse can it get with Mason Cole than it already was with Kendrick Green?
Well, that's a viable point. We did ask ourselves this question earlier when we were talking about did they do enough, and I will maintain that the answer on the offensive line remains no. But I do think that they did what they could based on the availabilities of where they were going and what they had to do draft-wise or felt they had to do draft-wise. So do I think they fixed it? No. But at the same time, you don't have to have a perfect offensive line because they can grow together. And if you've got some guys who are more than capable, who stand out, they can help take the load. That's an interesting picture.
Yeah, that's Cole, man, with all the tattoos on Cole. I had to find another one because it was the only one I had, and I just wanted to – I was going to throw you off now.
It's like, hey, there you go. That's a picture of a leg.
and a football. A leg
and a football.
Hey, a leg and a football and some unidentified, probably someone's posterior.
I think it's a butt. Yeah.
Got the butt bokeh effect there.
Yep. I do think, you know, you've got a potential stud in James Daniel on one side, right? So just having that presence there, if he can stay as solid as he was, if he can continue to grow, if he can be a leader on the line, if he can show guys like Dotson how to be better, pros, shows like guys like Kendrick Green how to grow into their positions. And Dan Moore, you know, we haven't talked about him, but if all those guys can gel a little bit, they can compensate off of each other, right? And you know, basically help put together something that may not be perfect in its intricacies or its individual pieces, but overall together plays solidly. So do I think they did enough? No. But I think they have the potential to become at least more than adequate.
Yeah, I agree with that. Adequate going to be good enough with all of these young quarterbacks. That's going to be the biggest question here. And that's the one that I necessarily, I don't know that I could answer. So when you take a look at Mason Cole, you got to make sure he's not snapping the ball over someone's head. You got to make sure he's not being pancaked or put on his ass. Like, I hate to say it, but that's kind of like what you were mentioning, junk in the trunk. That's what was happening with Kendrick Green, giving up a little bit too much of a push. And if he's right there in the middle, you know, that's what you got to have. And this J.C. Hassenauer, you're going to have like probably three center slash guards on this depth chart. So you may as well just bring up Hassenauer while you're at it. I know I'd already mentioned him just briefly, but it's good to have somebody that has some experience, I suppose, even if it's bad experience. And there it is again. And we'll talk about LeGlue and where some of these other guys may fall in as reserve players. I don't necessarily want to hang my hat on J.C. Hassenauer being a starter again, but you saw that some things looked a little different just having him in there versus Kendrick Green. So Mason Cole could be somewhat of an improvement. You never know. He could be a vast improvement. I mean, his contract's kind of interesting, Brian. And we talk about contracts. I've mentioned this with like when we talk about like the quarterbacks with Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, and how their contracts kind of borderline backups, right? But Mason Cole got paid enough that I don't think he's sitting the bench. So unless something drastic happens in training camp, I think he's got to be the starting center. We saw that already with the OTAs and mini camps. It's one of those few things where I say, when you see that, it's not a maybe take it as a grain of salt. Like some of the rookies, like George Perkins Pickens. Blah. I got breakfast on the brain.
Been to the pancake house, have you?
With George Pickens or Kelvin Austin or something, and they're like taking like wide receiver 5-6 reps or something, right? Or Kenny Pickett taking QB3 reps, or that might just be bringing him slowly along. You know, to Marvin Leal, we'll see where some of these guys start to set. But Mason Cole being in there as one, and also even with the free agent thing with Trubisky being in there as the one right now, they're being placed in there as the veteran players to lead all of this. And then it's kind of maybe their spot to lose at this time. Now, do we kick over to the outsides and talk about whether tackle or tackle? Left tackle, right tackle, whether it was enough was done here. I mean,
well, they didn't do anything.
Well, here's where I'm going to go with that, though. They actually did. They had to re-sign Chukwukor for.
I know, but that re-signing is standing pat, right? You re-signed the guy you had there last year. So to me, that is the equivalent of level.
Yeah, but could they have done anything differently?
I mean, where are they at now? Sixth with cap space? They got money.
Wait. But that wasn't the point. The money, and they paid him. Well, it's backloaded and incentive kind of like if he hangs around the next year with Chukwukor.
Traditional Steelers prove a contract.
Yeah, but who are they getting differently? We went through this in the offseason. There wasn't anybody that really stood out, even as a bank breaker or even for a similar sort of contract as Chukwukor for, than just standing pat. So when we talk about have they done enough, what else could they have done there? Not much, unless they went and entered the NFL draft, which could be the next step of this.
They could have drafted
but how a
tackle instead of a quarterback.
Well, you would say that.
That's all I could say. They could have, and I'm not going to revisit the draft in that sense, right? They could have done that. But when you go and look how the draft fell, I don't know whether I think there was a tackle that was worth taking over Kenny Pickett or not. So I'm not going to say they should have.
Or over George Perkins. Or I said it again, George Pickens. It's going to be like my Matt Thomas thing, Michael Thomas thing. But over Pickens or even over Leal or even over Austin. Like, I mean, I can't fault any of those four picks. At that point,
it doesn't matter. Once you're drafting in the fourth round, we've had some solid contributors, but you're drafting in the fourth round. You're not improving over your starters right now, probably.
Yeah, well, you got a guy in the fourth round last year.
You did.
That ends up playing your left tackle. And whether it's good experience, bad experience, or whatever experience, you got to hope some of this gels and gets together here. And it's going to matter with the left guard, too, because if Kendrick Green ends up playing there and gets pushed around, that's not going to help Dan Moore, Eddie. But again, five different players played next to him last year.
when he had Dan Moore got exposed to a certain extent last year. And when I say that, what was exposed was that he needs that interior strength, right? He needs a solid left guard next to him. With one, then he can focus on his job. But if he has to deal with any excess coming from that position, forget it. It's too much for him.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. You got to have the right combination here.
Yes.
And I'm still not 100% certain that the Steelers are done here. Like you said, there's some cap space, but are they adding a whole lot of players in at the very end here in training camp, like before training camp, like last year? I highly kind of doubt it. I don't think that's going to be the MO, so to speak. I don't think there's another Trey Turner. I don't think anybody that they're going to add is necessarily going to be a starter unless there's an injury.
Knock on wood, if they don't have any injuries, unless somebody so badly, makes caca in the bed that they feel like that we can't go into the season with that guy there. They're going to solidify the group, but that's it.
Yeah. So going to this interior line, what's your preferred lineup here? I mean, obviously I think you got to have Dan Moore immediately in there, but are we still sold on Kevin Dotson? He looked like he was going to be a man amongst children in his rookie season, and we were like banging on the desk here to get him on the field more than what he ended up playing.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, you know, people have said that he was kind of a man child, right? So look, and this happens a lot with guys coming out of college. Not everybody is mature, right? Not everybody is willing to take the responsibilities of moving into the professional ranks with the same degree of severity that others are. So I'm willing to give Kevin Dotson a pass from last year. I'm willing to say, okay, yeah, he got a couple injuries. He wasn't in shape. He thought everything was going to be easy. Well, now he knows it's not, right? So I'm waiting to see. I do think Kevin Dotson can be an outstanding guard. I think he has the potential. He has the body. He has the strength. He just needs to what he really needs is Marquise Pouncey to come back and get up in his grill and tell him to get his act together. That's what he needs. He needs a strong leader on that line or somewhere on that offense to get up in his face and tell him to get his butt together. Then maybe he keeps that nasty attitude, and now you got two nasty guys in the middle.
Yeah, and I just noticed the kiss of death here. I was looking at, I was going to start getting into some of the depth and as to whether or not specifically Joe Haig maybe even has a shot. I don't know if they'll allow him to start or if he takes it just because somebody isn't playing up to their level. But talk about kiss of death is when you share a number with an offensive or defensive player. You know who else is wearing 53 right now? Listed as 53? Tuzar Skipper. Oh man. Yikes.
Poor Mr. Skipper's been bouncing around.
Welcome back. Nice to know you. Nice to see you. Come again.
Yep. Enjoy the preseason. We'll see you later.
Man, I hadn't noticed that. I hadn't actually looked at the full roster. I was looking at Kendrick Green listed 6'4", 315. And let's see. Mason Cole, 6'5", 298.
That's a light in the bucket.
That's interesting if accurate. We know they're not always. Well, especially at 6. Was Kendrick Green 6? No, he's 6'4". Inch. I'm not going to say much about
I think
that
6'4 is generous when he's standing on top of the grass.
Yeah.
Got some extra long cleats on.
But Dotson's 6'4", 321. Haig, 6'6", 298. Trying to see who else we've got listed here. Chook, 6'6", 3. And then, let's see. Chris Owens listed as a center here, too, from Alabama. The undrafted guy that we all like as an early favorite. 6'3", 305. Did I miss someone? I'm trying to think who else would have been here. Oh, J.C. Hassenauer, 6'2", 295. So they do like their centers to be a little bit. It's always been lighter, like a sub 300. That's kind of been the Steelers.
Because they make them pull. I mean, they want those guys to be a little bit more nimble than your average grinder.
Yeah, totally agree. So what do we think maybe if Joe, I don't know. I thought if Joe Haig would have made a push to start last year, it would have been over rookie Dan Moore. I think that's cutting right to the chase. J.C. Hassenauer, I don't think, has a shot to start. But here's the point, too, is if Mason Cole doesn't work out, do you go back to Kendrick Green at center? I don't know that they do.
I think Kendrick Green's role right now is to try and earn a guard spot. I think they look at him as let's two dogs, one bone between him and Kevin Dotson. And whoever doesn't get the starting role is the number one backup. That will mean that Kendrick Green could be the center backup as well. In which case, if Mason Cole doesn't work out and Dotson is playing well, then maybe he takes back over. But I don't think that they long-term see him as a center anymore.
I totally agree. I think that ship has sailed. I think they realize that, and they're not going to try and force the square peg into the round hole anymore.
Right.
When it comes to Kendrick Green. Just looking at, I think I'd already mentioned Joe Haig, swing tackle. He's about the only backup tackle they have, which isn't too unusual. I believe a few years ago it was, I can't remember his name now. He came over, I think, from the Broncos. Was it Ryan? Oh, I can't remember his name, but he was like the swing tackle. He got hurt early in the season.
Right.
I remember. And they were in deep crap. And that's how they ended up with like Chris Hubbard and whatnot, ended up playing tackle when he was never playing tackle. And I think they could find themselves in an unfortunate, similar situation. However, I just don't see it with, like, let's say Chaz Green, for example. I know they brought him back. I don't think he was going anywhere to begin with. Like, I think he's still like a practice squad. I did my way too early roster prediction. We'll do another one. We'll have to do it like together so we could get some multiple opinions, maybe even get Flash in with us, maybe the coach, and we all have some, you know, we're all going to agree on probably about 46, 48 players. But this is whether or not they have like 8 offensive linemen or 9 offensive linemen or 7 right. or 8 defensive linemen. And they got a ton of defensive backs right now, which makes it hard for me. I just don't see. Okay. How many linemen do you usually have active on game day, right? You're going to have 2 or 3 reserves, right? That's probably all the more you're going to have on your active roster. Usually one of those guys, if they have any more than that. Yeah, if they have any more, it's usually one of those guys is inactive. Anyways, they're not getting a helmet. So would they roster only 8? You're going to have like a tackle, and then you're going to have probably like, let's say Green and Hassenauer. Let's just say your starters right now. You got Moore and Chukwuemeka as your tackles. And then you have Dotson and James Daniels as your guards,
and
then Cole is your center. It's going to have to be Kendrick Green, J.C. Hassenauer. That's your backup guard / center in either case. And then your tackle. So you're covered on each end. It's just going to really suck like any other way. You got John LeGlue. I think if you cut John LeGlue, you're going to have John LeGlue right back, and then you could call him up to the 53 at will. You've got 16 practice squad spots once again this year, and a lot of the same kind of player flexibility and roster flexibility. They changed a few things. I think IR now, they added an extra week to it. But that's about the only difference, I believe, really, from the COVID things. And there might have been like one or two. I think there may actually be a restriction to how many players you bring back from IR now, too, in total. It wasn't an unlimited. It was kind of like an unlimited type of thing because of the special COVID rules. I think they put a cap on that. So you got some flexibility where John LeGlue or Chaz Green could be. I mean, these aren't names that, you know, strike fear in anybody, but you just never know. That's why we're talking about like Owens, for example. You've got the Ramon Fosters and the Matt Filers and Alejandro Villanueva. So you've had guys that are like street free agents or undrafted players, or even lower round late picks like Kelvin Beachum in the past, that from a seventh round standpoint. In the same year, they took three offensive linemen. You know what I mean? They took Mike Adams to be the guy, and Kelvin Beachum's still, you know, kicking it around in the NFL. I believe he's still on with the Cardinals. I know he was last year. So it's just, you don't know where this is going to come from. You don't know who's going to ascend. And as much as we want to say the offensive linemen, we love our offensive linemen and we want to give them the credit and give the shine the spotlight on them, not always the sexiest thing. Yes, you need your protectors. You need your blindside movie with Sandra Bullock and all these fancy things to protect the blind side of the quarterback. But after that, it's just kind of like all bets are off. Nobody's talking about centers. Nobody's talking about a lot of the interior offensive linemen in the same way. And just look at our conversation about Alan Faneca, one of the GOATs. And it took him forever to have that official GOAT status put in bronze in Canton. So a lot of times I think the offensive linemen slip through the cracks. And a lot of times the offensive linemen could also come from teeny tiny schools you ain't never heard of. So they're not going to be drafted. And I think that's why you see a lot of, you need at least five bodies and then some. There's going to be injuries. It happens all the way around the league. I think that's why you just have, and you've got to be position flexible and versatile too. So yep. I think when it comes to that aspect, you can find someone outside of the draft. I had to boomerang back around though. Like me and Zach just talked about this the other day, Brian. And we were talking about Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. If you don't take them two, you're probably a deep crap right now this season at both of those positions.
Oh, yeah.
And provided, you know, we might not be talking about center if it's Creed Humphrey, maybe. But what if it doesn't work out that way? And you had somebody who didn't work out necessarily. And now you're down double. So I can't necessarily fault it. You might still have Green contributing somehow. Moore may bloom into a starter. I think we said originally 2 to 3 year process. So next year would be year three. I think Daniels is going to be a stud. We'll see if Cole works out like Harding's, if Dotson or Green works out left guard, at least they have an option. You know, yep. They're not completely stuck there. And at tackle, maybe an option. I mean, Hay can fill in, but it's not going to be the thing where I feel the most comfortable. He's obviously still there. They like him. I didn't think he did a terrible job out there when he was called upon. But it's just a matter of like having John LeGlue and some other guys that are thrown out there. Just, you know, they need some seasoning. Maybe they turn into a bigger or brighter player, but could they add somebody, trade in camp, free agent, somebody cut at the end of this whole process when people are making the 53 man rosters out? I absolutely think so, because it's very hard for me to just, you have eight just there. I think they will eventually keep a ninth. Somehow, yeah. I just don't know where it's coming from.
No, I'm with you. So, I like completely off track. You know, who did Kenny Pickett replace on your wall?
I wish I had it right here. You finally noticed that? That's been up for about 3 weeks. Flash noticed it right away. Yeah, Juju.
Oh, Juju. Well, that's a viable choice to upgrade from Juju because he's not here anymore.
Yeah, it was tough for me. As much as I loved Juju being up here, knocking perfect on his keister, I had to go for a change there. I have to keep it a little current. Maybe that's something that I cycle in and out. Like your helmets. Most people don't realize those are all brand new helmets behind Brian right now. Every single one of those brand new, signed by someone else. He took down the previous one. Oh, don't do that. I know that you're going to, he's converting to full size helmets and then trying to deny it.
No. I only have full size helmets. I already got rid of all my minis. So I only have full size helmets and I have like 60 of them now, but like I haven't flipped them out in the back because Pickett and Pickens and Aaron Smith, and a bunch of other guys that I just got are over here.
And Perkins and whoever else we could come
like
up
you
with.
Can't, I don't even know if you can see, you can't see them unless I move the camera, which I'm not going to. There is a stack of boxes over there, full-size helmet boxes, just stacked. You know what? Screw it. There you go. Look, boxes.
As you see, the real reason Brian doesn't have everything on display there is because he's got. I was making fun of him looking like Nedry off of Jurassic Park with all the stuff. It's like he doesn't leave his desk area. He's just nested in there. You got a mini fridge down there too?
I don't, and I thought about it, but then if I got one, I really would never leave. And I just bought a new bike so that I could go bike riding, and I got to be able to, like, the damn thing costs as much as a car.
Oh, I know.
Able to go use it.
Did you get one of those e-bikes, like the electric ones, by any chance? No, those seem kind of cool.
But that's cheating, man.
Cheating. I call it assist. You are old. Take it where you could get it, man.
I don't need assist. I'm doing 35 miles on my bike. I don't need no damn assist.
You know what's tough for me is that being the 6'5" ogre that I am, is trying to get on to one of these bikes that are made for, like, I guess your normal humans. You know, I don't fit on beds. I don't fit in bathtubs, those type of things. The shower heads down here by the Under Armour logo. So it's just, I'm living in a small person's world.
That's an image I just didn't need to have. Well, I need to go rewind and delete.
My mom is formerly, I guess, 5 feet tall. As you get older, you shrink. So my daughter's at 8 years old is almost as tall as her right now. She takes after, well, you know, her mom's also tall too. Not quite 6 feet, but tall for a lady. And so we joke about that. It's like, where did I come from? My mom's always like, or anybody shorter, it's been around the family, friends, whatever. It's like, oh yeah, you could reach the, well, back then they had
9 feet tall.
Back then they still, but back then they still delivered like government cheese and milk and things like that, of that nature too.
So you're saying you're old enough to have the milkman come.
I think I do.
Could have been mailman, the FedEx guy, UPS.
It's just smooching with everyone, aren't you?
Smooching with everyone.
Come on, snakes. Come on, snakes. Get me break here. You know,
you filthy animal.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get out of here before I blow you off on your keister or something. I don't remember. It's those are great bits. Absolutely. It's probably the best part of Home Alone 2, actually. We're talking about
definitely of the second one.
Talking about sequels that were better than the originals. And one of these movie groups I belong to, and just carrying out for our two percenters before we cut the ribbon on this show. But seeing Top Gun Maverick, and I was like, man, that might actually have been better than the original. That is just a great movie overall. I don't think you've seen it yet. I highly recommend it, by the way. Just don't take my word for it. See what everyone else says. But it's hard to think of movies that are better than the original in some point. And somebody said Home Alone 2, and I just wanted to smack them.
That's
like, no, it's
wrong.
Not. The Sticky Bandits over the Wet Bandits is not an improvement. But my pick, if we're going to be 100% serious here, Terminator 2. It's hard for me to just pick Star Wars movies. We were talking a lot about Star Wars on the last one, but... because there's so many Star Wars movies. I'm like, really? Like, is Empire Strikes Back better than the original? Oh, absolutely. But then it still had a sequel too. And I guess Terminator 2 spawned a bunch of other Terminator movies, and they're just not the same. But,
you know, the difference was he had money, right? James Cameron had money to make Terminator 2. Terminator 1 is an awesome film, considering that he made it for $0, right? Then somebody said, here, have all this money so you can make, like, fluid dancing people that melt, and you can do all this CGI stuff. And it was absolutely, because I think James Cameron is a great filmmaker. The second one was better than the first one. But, you know, that's because he had money.
Well, speaking of James Cameron, the other one that's usually considered is Aliens.
Aliens, I actually do think Aliens is a better film than Alien.
Yeah.
But it's different. Like,
yes.
Alien
yes.
is much more of a noir, like, eerie, creepy film, and Aliens is just action film.
Movie. Yes, explosions and everything. Well, I'll tell you, I'll leave you with one other thought here, too. You may or may not be aware of this. Since we got off the football thing, trust me, folks, we're done with the offensive linemen. That was sexy enough. But
the answer is no, they didn't do enough, but they did as much as they could. There you
yes,
go.
They did as much as they could, and maybe, up to... They hit the ceiling. There's only so much. There weren't enough free agents, and they had other draft needs. Ba boom, bada bing. So, what was I just saying? Oh, yeah. Rocky IV. So, Sylvester Stallone came out with a director's cut just recently, within like the last six months, not even a full year. And I ended up picking that up, and I bought it, and then I ended up watching it because it was like on sale. It's one of these things, you know, you buy and then you eventually get around to it. But it's called like Rocky. I think it's like Rocky, like
four and a half.
Well, no, not four and a half. It's called something like Rocky versus or Balboa versus Drago or something like that. It has a very distinct name, or it's not even like really called Rocky IV to distinguish some of the edits, some of the different mixing, some of the music. Did you change up the music a little too much? Rocky IV is one of those GOAT soundtracks for me. That's the one you hit when you're in the gym. He's training in Mother Russia and everything like that. Absolutely. I love Rocky IV. But then again, Brian, this is kind of like a thing too. Like where Flash is to the prequel movies of Star Wars, I am to Rocky IV because that came out later. I was born in 81, man. So that spoke to me a little bit more with the Cold War. And that was another one of those NBC nightly movie things taped on the VHS tapes back in the day and whatnot. So I was intimately familiar with Rocky IV from every aspect. And they had like the cheesy scene with Polly with the robot thing and everything like that. And that gone. So the way it's kind of like flows, it was actually something everybody should check out if you have a chance.
I'm not going to argue with you about the director's cut. I will simply tell you that Rocky is the best of the Rocky movies.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to say Rocky 2 or Rocky 3. Or
Rocky 2 was kind of crap. And Mr. T was okay.
Clubber Lang, man.
Yeah.
Clubber Lang. Get it straight.
I can't dislike Mr. T. No, he's always going to be Mr. T to me.
I loved Mr. T growing up. I remember I had a Mr. T beach towel of all kind of items. But, man, he was on lunchboxes. He was on everything with the A-Team.
You might not be able to tell this.
Yes, I know where you're going.
Looking at me, but I wanted to be Mr. T.
I could tell. Look at the mohawk there.
Wait.
I pity you, fool.
I don't have it. I don't know where my chain is. I wanted to be Mr. T.
The Flavor Flav chain. Well, anyways, folks, a little bit of extra bonus movie stuff there. And there's no segue to anything Steelers with that other than to tell you.
We're done.
Yeah, I'm headed on a vacation. Brian's headed on a vacation, so we'll try and catch up with you. Well, I know it's still a trip, though.
It's not a vacation. Nobody takes a vacation to Brno, Chechnya.
I didn't want you to have to divulge where you were going. It might get you in trouble. I don't know.
Is anybody in Chechnya watching? If you are, comment, and I'll be in Brno. And if you want to come see me, great.
There might not be anything else to do. I'm not familiar with the area.
Yeah.
So, well, folks, that'll do it for us. By all means, if you have something that somebody was talking about, even Star Wars in the comments, I'm like, uh-oh, that is a tough crowd, man. I'm like, that's worse than the Yinzers. Like, Flash is trying to talk
don't
about.
Don't be getting on the wrong side of that group. No.
Have you been keeping up with the recent stuff like Obi-Wan and everything?
I watched the first three episodes of Obi-Wan. I liked it. I discovered that my necessity or my evaluation talents of any of these new film projects, be it Marvel, be it Star Wars, be it anything, is as long as I don't watch it and go, well, that was crap, I'm happy.
Thank you. That's all the more you got to be. I mean, I'm entertained. You know, I understand the Steelers stress me out to some point. I get heart palpitations and all my hair is falling out because all my fingernails are chewed off. And, you know, but I'm not out here like fire Mike Tomlin and everything just for my own personal enjoyment of everything. It's like, by the way, Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football the other day, too, was saying, you know, one thing I won't do is he didn't say disparage, but he said something like, I won't count the Steelers out. I won't ever say that they won't win games or do whatever. And he mentioned, you know, they made the playoffs with a 2021 version of Ben Roethlisberger that was not the same as he was. And they nearly made it there in 2019 with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges as the quarterback. So I kind of like where that is. But again, it's like I equate these things the same way around. And as far as these episodic things, you can't binge watch the Disney Plus stuff all at the same time like you could maybe like Ozark or Stranger Things. So you get a lot of praise for those particular shows. But much like football, you get a lot of ire from week to week until you have the next game and it makes you forget about the previous episode or showing that was out there. And I'm just like, okay, let's just wait until it's all over before I reserve any judgment because people are like, oh, yeah, first episode, great. Then second episode, no, me mad. I hate this. I'm never watching again. I'm pulling my subscription. And that's the same thing that's going to happen. This is a segue. This is a legitimate segue, though. That's going to happen this preseason, Brian. I told them they should have never drafted Kenny Pickett. He just threw two picks in the third quarter of this preseason game or whatever. What a bum. His tiny hands. You're going to hear all of this garbage. Oh, see, told you Trubisky wasn't any good. Oh, see, told you Trubisky was good. Mason Rudolph, get rid of him. You're saying that anyway. I know that you are.
I said that for 2 years. So, and that's not even fair. I did not say get rid of Mason Rudolph. I said Mason Rudolph is fine and content backup. Now that there's probably another backup, now I'm saying get rid of Mason Rudolph.
Oh, but, man.
Now let me, I'm just going to tell you, here's a little glimpse of something. I'm going to tell you a little story. Very short. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
So at work, we have this meeting every morning. In this meeting, today, we were instructed we were going to do a lip sync battle.
A what?
Lip sync battle. So we got told this yesterday. This will never see the light of day unless enough Steel City Underground subscribers requested. But I had to do a lip sync duet with a coworker. I'm not telling you the song.
Well, it's going to be Miley Cyrus. Like Wrecking Ball.
Not worse.
Oh, it can't be worse. The only thing that's worse than that.
The worst possible duet you could be asked to perform with someone else. It was that.
It's Peanut Butter Jelly Time, or it's Baby Shark, or something along the line.
I don't even know what the hell those are.
That's good. Don't ever do that. We got into a thing where we were pinging all the echo.
Movie soundtrack. Bad song. Song that makes you want to vomit every time you hear it.
it's gotta be something from a rom-com then.
Like, it's endless.
Oh no. All right. Anyways, folks, back to Mason Rudolph. How could you hate that guy? What a pretty boy. His mama is very proud of him. Anyways, folks, like, comment, and subscribe. We're gonna leave it off here. We'll catch you again sometime in the next week. Still bringing some things out to you. Still got a few other positions to cover. Just wait until we get to kickers and punters. It's going to be very exciting. I'm sure it will be much more movie content to fill the time.
Did they do enough to approve the kicker and the punter and the long snapper? And
in all honesty, there are some people that are like, they're like lost in La La Land as to whether or not it's a good idea to extend Chris Boswell and give him a new contract. I've seen some of that like out there, and it's like, what kind of drugs? Yes, please examine them. Brian, extreme close up there. Yeah, that's a good thing your camera refocuses. That could have been some trouble. But
yep,
folks, that's about all we got to say on the specialist. So I guess we covered that too. A little multitude. I should add it in on the bar down there. So until next time, thank you for hanging around the half percenters who will comment about your duet or whatever. And trust us, this guy and this guy ain't never doing a duet on this show. Never, never. Unless we do something, it would have to be something extreme, like a fundraiser or something. I'll do it for the kids. Okay.
Okay.
I'd do it for the kids. We'll live stream it or something, but there ain't no way in hell you're going to get me to sing otherwise. So until next time, my name's Joe. His name's Brian. We encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.